Well, well, here we are.
All right, people, we're gonna try something a little different today.
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand.
The only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing.
That's us, dude.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I'm gonna tell you something, and I want you to listen tight. It may sound like I'm talking about me, but I'm not. I'm talking about you. As a matter of fact, I'm talking about all people everywhere.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. Now here is the host of Rush to Reason, John Rush.
I am Hans.
And I am Franz, and we just want to pop your ass.
Welcome to Health and Wellness Wednesdays on Rush to Reason.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
I have what doctors call a little bit of a weight problem. I used to grab bear claws as a kid, two at a time, and I'd get them lodged right in this region here.
Exercise gives you endorphins. Endorphins make you happy. Happy people just don't shoot their husbands.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
I'm sorry that I'm fat.
And I'm your host, Andy Pate, filling in for John Rush, together with Shemaine Navarro of...
Free-faced in Colorado.
Free-faced in Colorado. And on the line right now, by the way, we've got producer Ann Muir. And, you know, Ann, I want to ask you something, can I? Are you there?
Oh, sure, go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Okay, we've got producer Ann. We've got producer Charlie. What would be at the very, very bottom of the totem pole? Because I really need a title.
Andrew the producer.
Yeah, right.
I just think that's the name you just hear. If you have a title.
Well, yeah,
just
we're, take one, pick we're one, not going to make you know? Me producer. I kind of like things to actually work. So we'll go without
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Hey, so. Anna, you were going to give us a web update and kind of let people know how they can use the website.
Yeah, I've gotten some feedback on the site, which I really appreciate because I want it to be user friendly. So the page or the website started off with a tab that was links and what's supposed to be just article links. And then I ended up putting a calendar in there with all the show notes. So I renamed it and it's show notes. Now you can just go to the rushtoreason.com, click on show notes, and then you can go right to SoundCloud for podcasts. Or if you want to still go to the show notes, you can do that. And then within the show notes, The whole 3 hours are broken down for the day. So if you want to go right to where that interview is at, it's listed in the show notes. And then all the articles you talked about, the people who have called into the radio show and they've given us articles and information, those are all there. So I'm really excited that Shemaine's on today because I got theirs, I'm a little behind, but I got theirs done late last night.
Yay.
So when they called in, the gal had the PDF with where you can issue a citation or a citizen's arrest or something. All those legal documents, that PDF is linked there. The gal with the winery who is doing mask-free, her information is in there. There was a law firm, too. I don't remember off the top of my head. I can't open it on my phone right now. But they did a lot of legal work with the mask. So everything is in there. And what I talked about, those were the calls at the end of hour three. So if you have called in the radio show and you want to hear what you said or what somebody said, I do list out Craig or Jersey Joe that calls in, and their things are in there too. So, cool. So it's pretty comprehensive of the show, and you don't have to surf through the podcast to try to find what you're looking for. I already did the work for you.
And this is terrible for business. What you're telling them is they don't have to listen. They can just go
to
the notes.
It's a follow-up.
Yeah. No, I want you, Anne, I want you to know it was not a bunch of my friends and my wife who contacted you and said, put my picture on all the pages. Okay, that happened randomly.
That happened randomly.
That was random.
Do I have to take all those down now?
No. Gosh, no.
Because your face is plastered everywhere.
Oh,
that website.
Good. I was really hoping.
Everywhere.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it's John Rush, and it should be.
I don't have one of you yet, Andy.
That's okay. I think that's good. We want the page to work. We want people to go there and actually want to stay.
Yeah, I went on there and I loved the way it was broken down. It was nice. I didn't know it was new.
And you really do a great job.
Yeah, thank you.
It's very, very smooth. And, you know, even though I resent not being a producer like you and Charlie, and I, you know, I think you do an awesome job with the webpage.
Thank you, Andrew. And I will get you on there somehow. I will put you on there somehow. So
okay.
I'll figure it out.
And thank you so much.
Thanks.
You bet. Yep,
have a great day. Bye-bye.
All right. Shimei, are you ready
for
the question of the day?
Yes.
All right. Here we go. By the way, what was yesterday's? It was, oh yeah, what do men most like to eat? 22% said men like to eat this while watching sports. The answer was nachos.
Nachos.
I still would have thought it would be wings, but Charlie, I think wings would be a higher number, don't you think? I know, you got to have them delivered, but
yeah,
I like wings. What?
They're hard to make.
They are very.
Wings. Nachos, you just put them in the microwave.
My wife makes killer wings, by the way.
Yeah?
Yeah, she bakes them. They're awesome. I won't go into that. Okay. Today, on Wednesday, May 5th, which is Cinco
de Mayo.
Yes, Cinco de Mayo. That's wonderful. By the way, I got to say, though, don't try to get into a Mexican restaurant tonight. Good luck with that.
Yeah, we're making margaritas at home.
Oh, yeah. Today. Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. It's just the way it is. Okay. Playing this game actually improves your brain function. Playing this game actually improves your brain function. Now, this is an easy one for me. Hungry, hungry hippos. I play it for hours. I do. I play it against myself because I don't want to lose.
Yes.
Yeah, you know. And what I do is I'll play hungry, hungry hippos for like 3-4 hours. That gets me wound up and really thinking clearly, and then I just go to work on that novel.
Yes.
What do you think?
I think that's interesting.
You ever seen that cartoon, the commercial for Hungry Hungry Hippos? All you do is keep banging down on it and try to get marbles.
Yeah, yeah.
Zero thought.
Yeah, none at all. Just eat them all.
I know. I would really enjoy that. Okay, here are the folks. Once again, as always, you go to rushedreason.com, and there's the bar along the top, the blue bar along the top on the far right. It says question. You can go there. Bring it down, and it gives you these choices, and you can pick one or put in another one if you want to vote. Here are the choices. Tetris, chess, Scrabble, Minecraft.
Interesting.
Or other.
So me, I would say Tetris.
Over Hungry Hungry Hippos?
Yes.
You know, I'm a little hurt by that. I mean... Are you saying that basically I have not been doing what I need to stay sharp?
I mean, I'm not saying anything.
You know, Tetris, that makes sense because it's so spatial with all the blocks falling down and all that kind of stuff. When I was a kid, and this is true, I would play Scrabble for hours with my mom. And that's where I became very verbose.
Yes.
And you can't shut me up. Yeah, my mom and I, we'd play Scrabble and we'd have two plates. We'd have a plate of those chocolate caramel peanut clusters.
Okay.
You ever have those?
Yes. Yeah. Like a turtle, kind of?
Yep, turtles.
Yes.
And then we'd have another plate of bacon, crisp bacon. It's the worst food. I know. It's the worst food in the world. I don't know how we didn't just pass out dead from clogged arteries. But we'd play Scrabble, and that really helped my mind.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with Scrabble. You're going to go with Tetris?
I go with Tetris, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to put it in here. I'm voting right now. There we go. I think you're ahead. Doggone, you are ahead. Okay. Are you ready to go to break? Let's go to break.
Yeah.
Up next is Novus Auto Glass windshields. Used to be something that you slap on a car. That's all they were, right? You could go anywhere. They're all, every place is the same. But now they're literally a structural part with lots of technology. They are, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah, they know when it's raining, everything.
They can read everything. It's incredible. Well, Novus is second to none in getting the right fit, the right adjustments. And for all that tech, contact Novus Auto Glass. That's Novus. At rushedreason.com/Novus.
As the inventor of windshield repair, Novus Auto Glass saves you money by repairing chips and cracks whenever possible. With their patented glass repair technology, Novus can tackle tougher cracks than the competition. In some cases, they can repair cracks up to a foot long, but you have a much better chance at a repair by acting fast. Something as simple as going through a car wash could make your little chip or crack irreparable. For KLZ listeners only, Novus will send you a packet of protective windshield stickers for free. Little pieces of specially designed tape to cover any chips or cracks as soon as they appear, like a bandage for your glass. Request your free windshield patches now at klzradio.com/glass. No matter what sort of damage you're dealing with, there's never any risk with a Novus repair. Should your windshield repair fail, they will credit the cost toward a replacement. klzradio.com/glass.
All right, Barber's Foods is up next. Hey, Shimei, we all like to stock our freezers with meat,
yes,
right?
I mean, totally.
I have rows of it. I just love it. But here's a question. How long does it last before it gets freezer burned? Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. And you got those really dry edges, then you got to like cut that off or it's not going to be any good. If you have it in there for long, you're going to have that problem, but not with Barbers. When you buy their air-chilled chicken, top-of-the-line steaks, Duroc pork, or any other meats, they're vacuum-sealed to keep them ready far longer so you can enjoy them when you're ready. Call Barbers at 303-466-7338 or order online at barbersfoods.com.
For those select few who still care about how the animals were raised and cared for, BarbersFoods.com is perhaps the last place in Colorado you can go to buy air-chilled chicken, locally raised beef and bison, premium Duroc pork, and wild-caught salmon that are all sourced from families that they know personally. Let's face it, some things in life are gone and never likely to ever come back, like houses in Denver that cost less than $100,000, or knowing your neighbor well enough to borrow a cup of sugar. But thanks to Barber's Foods, you can still know where your food comes from. Go to barbersfoods.com and click on April Specials at the top of the page to find ground beef and air-chilled chicken breast on sale. And for Mother's Day on May 9th, they have Mom's Favorite Beef Filet Tenderloins on sale. Some things are long gone, but you can still buy your meats from a local Colorado-owned family business. Barbersfoods.com, connecting you to your food since 1949.
And welcome back to Rush Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush, along with Shimei Navarro. By the way, what about Tetris Scrabble? I think that'd be really challenging, you know, where the letters come down, you've got to form them together.
Oh my gosh, form a word as it comes down.
Exactly. I think that'd be a great, great game. Someone come
next
up with
level.
That, please, because that'll help me think. Okay, up next we have the author of Gun Control Myths, How Politicians, the Media, and Botched Studies have twisted the facts on gun control. This is, of course, Mr. John Lott. John, how are you today?
Doing great. Thanks very much for having me on.
Oh, it's great to have you on. By the way, I know you want to talk about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine today, but first, can you let people know how they can get your book?
Well, any of my books are available at places like Barnes & Noble or Amazon. They can also go to our website at crimeresearch.org. And given all the gun control bills that are being put forward now in Colorado, I wouldn't mind if you wanted to talk about the gun control stuff, but that I'm happy to talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Well, tell you what, why don't we lead in with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine? Because I know very little about this, by the way. I'm not a pro or anti-vaxxer. I just don't care. I'm cool either way. But I'd like to hear some of the myths debunked about that, because people were basically saying it was like, I don't know, It was almost like you were drinking the punch, at, you know, at some kind of a secret meeting in the woods, and you were going to die. I mean, they were putting it out like that. What are the myths about this?
Right. Well, before the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, coronavirus vaccine, was halted, they had given out dosage to 6.8 million people. And there had been one death associated with blood clots. There were six other people that had gotten blood clots. The thing to remember is that people in the United States, around the world, die from blood clots all the time. According to the CDC, you should expect in any given month at least 100 people dying from blood clots for every 6.8 million people. And so actually the rate of people dying from blood clots from the coronavirus vaccine was actually remarkably low compared to the normal kind of background rate that you would be having.
Well, Joe,
you
know, John, really quick here before you run on, if they had, you know, out of 6.8 million, if they only had like a half dozen who even had the blood clots and one died, and that's below the normal ratio, how could they possibly establish causation? How could one cause the other when it's happening at
a
much lower? Yeah, but they shut it down, John. They actually shut it down for a few weeks and didn't put it out.
No, I agree. And it's kind of the hyper, you know, political environment that we live in right now. You know, they just had set it up so that when any flags occurred, they would shut it down and investigate. And, you know, I think it was a mistake because in those weeks, as you mentioned, that they shut it down, there were millions of people who would have gotten the vaccine who didn't get it. And we know, you know, at least if you believe the CDC numbers on this stuff, you would have had something around 500 deaths from the coronavirus for every 6.8 million people in that same month. And so, you know, even if it had caused one death because of blood clots, you have to compare that one death versus 500 people's lives you could have saved with the vaccine.
All right, John, but you're being really nice. Can I go all conspiracy theorist kind of thing, do a little Fox Mulder talk?
Okay. I mean, I'm a numbers guy, but I'm happy to talk to you about your conspiracy stuff if that's what you want.
Yeah, wherever you are, I want you to wear an alien mask, and we will complete the entire interview. Here we go. These companies, Johnson & Johnson, and these other companies putting out these vaccines are making an incredible amount of money by putting out these vaccines. And by the way, I think that's great. Go capitalism. I love it. But different companies are financially tied through donations and other things to different politicians. And so my question is this. Were they just connected to the wrong folks versus other vaccines? Because when you've got that a rate that is that incredibly low, I don't even know how it sets off a flag. It almost seems like they were targeted.
Well, they have a reporting service that goes and automatically alerts the CDC and the FDA, if anybody. And it just shows you how sensitive the reporting service that's there. But, you know, if the vaccine making companies had a lot of political pull, the vaccines would have been approved last September. We had these vaccines were tested on more people than we've ever tested vaccines on before they were released. And they were all set to get approved last September. But what happened was at the last moment, the FDA changed the rules for approving vaccines. And it made it much tougher than they've ever had in terms of standards for kind of following people for the length of time, for example, after they've had the vaccine, than we've ever had before. And that delay made it so that the vaccines were not able to get approved until after the election. And so, you know, we could have had, you know, millions of doses being put out in October last year.
Which would have heavily affected the election in favor of Donald Trump. There's no question.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. But I'm just saying if the companies that made these vaccines were so politically powerful, it's kind of doubtful that they would have agreed to have these things delayed as long as they were.
Was it emergency authorized, FDA approved? Like, were they the normal kind of FDA approved?
Yeah, because we had Operation Warp Speed. So was this normal FDA approval or was it rushed? What was the standard?
Okay.
Good question.
So you have to understand that the FDA over the years has just developed a lot of paperwork shuffling that's occurred. And so what happens is that they're given the data from the tests, and then they just go through different sieves in order to kind of evaluate it. You know, one of the ironies is, and Trump got very upset about this, they assign one person to go and read the data that comes in. And Trump said, look, all you guys are doing is reading the data there and just checking the boxes to see whether or not, all the conditions are satisfied so that the initial review committee can make its recommendation. So why not assign like 10 people to go and read through the data that's there? And you could get it done in one-tenth of the time. But, you know, they kind of insisted. They said, we always just have one person do it, and so we're going to have one person go through and read it this time. And that, you know, that added another week or so onto the process. And, you know, it's – but you know, they don't do anything more with this. It's not like additional tests are done between this the initial emergency approval stage and the later ones. It's just that you have the same paperwork gets shuffled and looked at again, and there's really, you know, there's, you know, historically there's really been no changes in whether something's approved early on or not, or gotten the initial panel's approval, and what happens later on, because it's the same paperwork.
Okay, John, I got another question. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have kind of twofold. Is that okay? What?
Do one at a time. Go
one
ahead.
One at a time. Okay, so my thought process with the J&J and then the other ones is that the Johnson & Johnson didn't have the mRNA technology in it, and maybe there was some sort of political space in there where, you know, make it look not as safe, you know, so that people would want to go towards the other vaccines. What are your thoughts? Like, is how safe is...
Well, yeah, John, because the question is, obviously, when you drop one, it makes it advantageous for the others.
Yeah.
And that would be the only question.
Sure.
Those were dealing with mRNA, Johnson
yeah,
Johnson
you know,
was
look, I mean,
that's a good question.
If you're... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
If you're still asking about the political stuff, you know, I... You know, who knows what goes on behind the closed doors there and what influence might be there or what have you. You know, as you suggested, there may have been political influence in terms of changing the FDA regulations in September last year. But, you know, I can just tell you what happened, and I can tell you kind of what the test results were showing. We have different processes for developing these vaccines. The RNA process that they have is actually pretty amazingly neat, and it's something that they're going to be able to apply to lots of other vaccines in the future. The Operation Warp Speed, I think, has really changed people's mindsets about what's possible in terms of vaccines. And,
all right.
You know, I go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, all right, that sounds good. Shimei, you want to ask the other question?
Yeah, so bottom line, how safe is the vaccine?
Well, what I can say is compared to others, and there's
sure.
more people that have been tested using these vaccines for the coronavirus than have ever, by a large number, than have ever been tested on any previous vaccine that's been released. So you've had a lot more different types of people that have been exposed to the vaccine during the testing process. The FDA had a lot more data to go and look at to see whether there was any side effects or not that was there when they were deciding it. And also, as I mentioned, in September, they changed the rules for determining whether or not a vaccine is safe, and they've made the strictest rules in terms of follow-up, the amount of follow-up time after the vaccine was administered to see whether there were any side effects that they've ever had before. So this has been tested on more people and gone through a more stringent process than we've ever had for any other vaccine. So if the other vaccines have tended to be safe, and I'm not going to go and say that they're not side effects from time to time, but this has had a tougher road that they've had to prove before it was any of these coronavirus vaccines than we've had before.
All right, but John, you got me interested in guns now. Is there a chance we could hold you hostage? Can we hold you hostage over the break?
Yeah, sure. Happy to.
Yeah, I promise you will grow to like us. It's going to be like Stockholm Syndrome. You know, you're going to befriend your captors.
Right,
it's going to be wonderful.
I think it's already setting in.
All right. It's very powerful, isn't it? Don't you feel manipulated? All right. We'll see you in just a few minutes with John Lott. But first, up next is Gino's Auto. You know, when you go to a dealership, and this is true, when you go to a dealership, you get a loaner car while yours is being fixed. That's really neat, right?
Yes.
Problem is, you're paying dealership prices. That I don't like. Well, Gino's is one of those few non-dealerships offering loaner vehicles to their clients. Pretty neat, right? So just call and reserve a car. And also right now, Gino's is offering new customers $25 off any work that's $250 or more. So why not call one of the best, most trusted auto shops in Littleton? Just call 303-794-6700, or you can find them at ginosautoservice.com.
Now's the time to take advantage of Geno's Napa Break Special. This month, get a $50 Napa prepaid Visa card with a qualifying Napa Brakes parts purchase of $250 or more. For over 38 years, Geno's Auto Service has been serving Littleton and customers along the Front Range. At Geno's, their team recommends checking your brakes every 5,000 miles. Stop in this week and they'll check your brakes for free. As members of Colorado Select Auto Care, the Geno's team will back up their work with Napa's nationwide peace of mind warranty. To make your life simpler, Geno's offers loaner vehicles so you can drop off your car and pick it up when ready. Geno's continues their public service work, partnering with Hands of the Carpenter and donating work on vehicles for single mothers or women in need. Check out all their Google reviews for a good snapshot of their business. They're AAA approved and located at Bowles and Platte Canyon. Stop in or visit them online at genosautoservice.com. That's Genos with a J.
Michael Bailey Law. Hey, he is the Rush to Reason mobile estate planner, which means he'll meet you anywhere you want. Although a lot of what Michael does, you can just do over the phone. Why? Because Michael makes it easy. Just let him know what you need. He'll ask all the right questions to make that happen. Call 720-730-7274, or you can find Michael at klzradio.com.
You're planning a date night with your wife, trying to decide between dinner and a movie, or meeting with Michael Bailey, KLZ's mobile estate planner, to set up a will or trust and establish medical and financial powers of attorney. You could either enjoy some food and entertainment, or come face-to-face with your own mortality. It is possible to do both. Get your affairs in order now so you can carry on with the fun stuff. KLZradio.com/estate.
Managers control their employees. Leaders empower them. John Rush will teach you how to run your business as a leader, not manager, so you have the freedom to do what you love. You went into business for yourself because you wanted freedom, but right now your business couldn't last one day without your involvement. Learn how to stop micromanaging and give your employees more responsibility so you can step back and enjoy yourself. Send an email to john@rushtoreason.com.
Recent reports note that CU, CU in Colorado Springs, CSU, and CSU Pueblo are requiring the COVID-19 experimental drug vaccine for students, faculty, and staff for the fall semester. However, Colorado Mesa University in Grand Junction will not. Kim Munson here. Thursday, Dr. James Lyons-Weiler, founder of the Institute for Pure and Applied Knowledge, and Dr. Jill Vecchio share their thoughts about these mandates and experimental drug passports. Karen Levine updates us on her meetings to protect the opportunity for home ownership. That's Thursday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again 10 to 11 p.m. right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
Tired of the corporate rat race? Time to retire? Call Chris Cantwell at Transworld Business Advisors to buy or sell your business. Find Chris Cantwell at KimMunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Stay in touch with Rush to Reason by liking our Facebook page, facebook.com/rushtoreason.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush along with Shimei Navarro. And on the line, we have John Lott, who has befriended his captors and is going to stay with us for yet another segment because John has also written Gun Control Myths, How Politicians, the Media, and Botched Studies Have Twisted the Facts on Gun Control. Okay, John, lots and lots of gun control nonsense going out right now. How can you kind of help equip people with a few factoids to fight back?
Well, I mean, I guess the thing to understand first is that there are trade-offs in everything that you do. That if you go...
Good point.
The laws that have already been passed, for example, on requiring that people have to lock up their guns, what you find is that it makes it more difficult for people to use guns defensively. You'll see an increase in criminals breaking into people's homes while the people are in the home there. And they're going to be relatively more successful in terms of committing the crimes than they would have been otherwise. You find that actually the total number of deaths goes up. And, you know, you look at things like accidental deaths. I was looking at this the other day. I think over the last 20 years in Colorado, there have been something like 10 accidental gun deaths for children under 15 in the state. And, you know, it'd be better if it was zero. But, you know, even when you break down those, you're going to find that these are not typically a child getting a hold of a gun and shooting another child. Most of the shots are going to be adult males, usually with criminal records, who are drug addicts or alcoholics, usually in their mid to late 20s, who are firing the gun. And, you know, requiring that somebody lock up a gun isn't going to stop, you know, an adult criminal who probably shouldn't even be allowed to own a gun to begin with, to stop him from getting access to his own gun. So what you find is that the number of accidental deaths really doesn't change when you pass these types of laws. But what you do see is that criminals tend to be more emboldened to attack people in their homes. And one of the things that seemed to be completely left out of the discussion there was the possible costs from these laws. And, you know, even if you want to lock up your guns, you know, nationwide, for children under 10, you're talking about 35 accidental gun deaths in the United States in, I think, 2019, the most recent year that the data is available. So it's, you know, again, it's a very low rate. I mean, when you take cases where a child gets a hold of a gun and fires it and shoots at somebody else, they get national news coverage, so it kind of makes people think that these are more common than they actually are. But there, unfortunately, in all these discussions, there's kind of no discussion of the costs and benefits. So there's three new bills, I guess, that they've just introduced that they want to have, in addition to the two that they've just passed and signed into law. One is funding. They want to set up a state agency that's going to be funding gun control research. The problem that I have with that is that politicians just can't, you know, keep their political views out of how they fund things. And so they're going to give money to basically left-wing academics in Colorado who value the same types of policy conclusions that the people who are funding it. They know the views of the people that they're going to be giving the money to, and I really don't see it being a very productive use of taxpayer money. The other changes that they're talking about having is eliminate Colorado's preemption law. The reason why they have that is so that as you travel around the state or move from one city to another, you don't run into different gun control laws that are there. You know, what guns you're allowed to own, what you can't, where you can carry it. You know, it can be quite confusing to have a whole, you know, different set of laws when you cross a county or a city line. I mean, you could imagine what would happen if they had traffic rules like that. So, you know, in Denver, let's say you could turn right on red, but outside of Denver, you couldn't do that. Or you had different rules for, what you know, the type of child safety seats that you have to have, or other types of regulations with regard to cars. I assume it would create quite a mess if people, every time they kind of drove into a new city or across a county border, had to face possibly a whole new set of driving rules. And, you know, the motivation for getting rid of preemption rules is that they say, well, local communities know what keeps them safe, and so we should let them decide. But presumably you could say local communities know best what traffic rules keep them safe, too. So why not let them do that? And
I agree.
And then so I don't know, maybe there'll be some state legislator who will say, you know, you got a good point. We ought to go and have all safety rules be determined at the local level rather than by the state.
Hey, John, now that you've agreed to be taken hostage and talk guns with us, would you be willing to take a caller?
Sure. Happy to take a caller.
Okay. On the line right now, is this Leslie Hollywood?
It sure is.
I thought it was. Leslie, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Talk to us.
Yeah. So I was just listening in on the gun talk already and want to pipe in because it's something that's very passionate, near and dear to my heart. As many people know, I am the founder and director of a gun rights advocacy organization called Rally for Our Rights. And we have been following all these gun bills here in Colorado. And it's a little worrisome because it seems like it's really flying under the radar, but we're talking five gun control bills now, five.
Five.
And as we already mentioned, we had the safe storage one and the lost and stolen guns ones that have been signed by the governor. So those are already a done deal. And then as of this afternoon, we are we have the first gun bill in committee down at the Capitol. That's the background check one that they just introduced. This one would add, I say it's expanded background checks, since we expanded background checks back in 2013.
So they include misdemeanors now.
Yes, they've added 11 misdemeanors.
Okay, hang on, Leslie. I'll come right back to you. John, what do you think of that one, adding 11 misdemeanors in a background check?
Well, you know, it's not really, you know, they're just one to have an excuse to make it so that people can't have guns. I mean, I don't know any evidence that they provided that indicates that banning people who have certain misdemeanors from being able to go and buy guns would produce any safety. You know, so to make it so you can't have a concealed handgun permit. Well, I'd like to know one example of somebody with a concealed handgun permit who has who's had, let's say, a misdemeanor, minor offense in the past, which has then gone out and committed a crime once they've had their permit.
Okay, you mean cross over the two data trails, right? You've had the minor, yeah. You've had this misdemeanor from this list, and you've owned a gun. Can they show that those two things combined produce a much higher rate of gun violence? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, for example, with concealed handgun permits, can they just show that people with concealed handgun permits who have gotten a permit despite having a misdemeanor have posed any risk? I mean, I've looked at the data for Colorado generally, and as well as for the country, on concealed handgun permits, and what you find is permit holders, people who've gone through the process, tend to be extremely law-abiding. I mean, just on average, police, for example, are convicted of firearms violations at about 1/20th the rate, so that's 5% of the rate of the general population. But concealed handgun permit holders are convicted of firearms violations at about 1/10th the rate that the police officers are. So that's 10% of the rate of police, and so that's like 1/200th the rate of the general population. So they're extremely law-abiding as a group. And, you know, I haven't seen any evidence that would indicate proof that banning those types of people that have had a misdemeanor would make others safer.
One second, if I may, John, because Leslie, you were down there. Did they even try to offer up any evidence? Because John makes a great point here. Did they offer up any evidence trying to connect the two? Hey, people who've had misdemeanors and have lawfully owned guns have a higher rate of violence.
So they haven't gotten through the bill yet. This is going to be a very long testimony throughout the day. So, yeah, so if people still want to get involved and testify, they actually still can. Head down to the Capitol or sign up remotely. But so one of the things that the reason they're running this bill in particular is because the Boulder Super shooter had 3 years prior been convicted of third degree assault, which is a misdemeanor one in Colorado. So they're trying to say, had this new law been in place, he would not have been able to purchase the firearm he purchased 6 days prior. That's the reason they're running this bill. Now, there's one really important thing that I want to point out, and that is when you purchase a firearm, you have to fill out ATF Form 4473. And question 21C asks this: have you ever been convicted in any court, including a military court, of a felony or any other crime for which the judge could have imprisoned you for more than 1 year, even if you received a shorter sentence, including probation? So when the Boulder shooter filled out this form, he put no on that question, even though third degree assault is a misdemeanor one in Colorado, which carries up to 18 months in prison.
So he lied.
So he lied on this, which is a felony in itself. And it begs the question of, why is this already law and it's falling through the cracks on the back?
Well, and Leslie, if I may, and I want to throw this to John, even let's say he hadn't lied. Let's say you get this one example of where somebody in this one given situation went and committed violence. How is that proof that this would be a good law to make it overreaching? And what I mean is this: what if you, with that same logic, said, we got an example of one person who was a protester who went out and committed violence. We need to stop all protesting. I mean, isn't it kind of...
No, it's not. It's not a good way of dealing with it. I mean,
I agree.
Often the way gun control stuff works. The Boulder case is being used by President Biden to go and try to classify what are called stabilizers as essentially machine guns, class 3 weapons. Stabilizers are basically a strap that wraps around the gun in your arm. And the reason why they were developed originally was for injured veterans. You had maybe a veteran whose half of his hand had been blown off by an IUD, or had his arm damaged in some way. And so being able to have the strap there made it possible for him to fire, or her to fire, the gun.
Well, wait. Are you telling me that Joe Biden says that having this strap turns you into a killing machine?
He wants to classify them the same way machine guns are classified. And you know, I don't know if you listened to his discussion Thursday a few weeks ago where he was going through it, but, you know, there's no discussion about costs and benefits on any of this stuff. It's, you know, he pointed to the Boulder, Colorado shooter, said that he used a stabilizer. But, you know, he was firing within a grocery store at close range. It's not really obvious to me in any way that he had any disability with regard to his hand or his arm. It's not really obvious to me that the stabilizer affected in any way his ability to go and hold the gun or hold it steady when he was firing at close range like that. But just as your caller was mentioning that the one case in Boulder was being used to go and push changes in what laws people could buy guns, it's also being used for other types of rules, too. One case, it's very common for one case to be used to change laws for everybody, even though you may be making it, in the case of the stabilizer, so that a lot of wounded veterans and others for which this was originally designed are not going to be able to go and hold a gun anymore.
Well, hey, and I'll add on to that really quick.
Got about just a couple of minutes, then we're going to have to go to break. So, Leslie, take a minute, and then I'm going to turn it over to John. Go ahead.
So the one thing I want to add is, you know, these people are absolutely just using this tragedy to exploit it to pass gun control laws. And a good example of that is in Colorado's the repeal, and what I call repeal and replace, of preemption here in Colorado, which we'll be hearing next week in committee. In that one, they actually allow for universities and colleges to ban concealed carry on campus. So here we actually have a bill that's going to allow colleges and universities to ban concealed carry on campus because a lunatic walked into a King Soopers and shot up a grocery store. What do those have to do with each other? Absolutely nothing. All they're doing is taking away the right for women on a college campus, where they tell us that 1 in 5 women are sexually assaulted, taking away our right to self-defense. That's pretty messed up.
I agree. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the same point we made before. Colorado, for a long time, has allowed people to carry permanent concealed handguns on college campuses. Are there any problems that they can point to that have occurred as a result of that? No. And the thing is, what you find is that those places, whether it's K through 12, there are 20 states that allow teachers and staff to carry guns on school campuses, or universities, you know, what you find is that there have been no mass public shootings at any of those places. There's been no shooting attacks of any type at any of those schools, whether it's K through 12 or universities, that have allowed people to go and carry guns. These killers, time after time, go and try to pick out usually places, the successful ones, where people can't defend themselves. And so all you're doing is making it more likely that there'll be these attacks. So it's the same cost-benefit calculations. They can't point to any problems that have occurred as a result of this. So, you know, what gains they're going to get are not obvious at all. But at the same time, they're making it so that these will be attractive targets. When you ban guns from these places, it's the most law-abiding good people who obey the rules, not the attackers. The attackers are actually attracted to those places then, because they know that they want to kill as many people as possible. They know the more people they kill, the more media attention that they're going to be able to get. And when you ban guns in those places, they're attracted to those places because they know the victims there are going to be defenseless, and they're going to be able to go and kill more people and get more media attention than they could have gotten otherwise.
Oh, absolutely. A gun-free zone is fish in a barrel.
Yes.
I'm sorry, that's what it is. Hey, really quick, hang on, John. Leslie Hollywood, thanks for joining us so much, and thanks for fighting for us down at the Capitol.
Absolutely, and if anybody wants to learn more about these bills, go to rallyforourrights.com.
Fantastic. Thanks, Leslie. And John Lott, how can people get your book?
Well, people can find out about all the things we've been talking about at our website at crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org for the Crime Prevention Research Center.
John, thank you so much for staying with us this whole time. It has been awesome. You're welcome back anytime. Take care, sir.
Thank you very much.
You betcha. Okay, up next is Extreme Auto Repair. Folks, if we don't keep up the maintenance on our cars, their value drops too quickly. That's just a fact. And that's why Extreme Auto is like a financial advisor for your car. They know what maintenance pays off, holds that value, and keeps you safer behind the wheel. So call Extreme at 303-841-1071, or you can find them at klzradio.com.
Go with your gut. You know when an estimate from a mechanic doesn't feel right. Maybe they're telling you to fix a bunch of stuff you didn't even know was broken. Maybe their prices seem surprisingly high. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will give you a second opinion for free, so you know what's reasonable and what's not. They can typically beat the prices of their competitors, but they won't hold it against you if you decide to go back to the first guy. Either way, you have the peace of mind. The team at Extreme Auto Repair wants to keep you safe and keep your vehicle on the road longer, but they never want to pressure you into repairs that you don't really need. So with every estimate, the team at Extreme Auto Repair will give you a priority list showing you all of your recommended maintenance items in order from the most to least important. That way, you decide what you want to take care of now and what can wait until later. Free second opinions at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
These three factors will determine the size of your nest egg in retirement: how much you set aside, what sort of return you get on that money, and the age you start saving. Now, you can't turn back the clock and start saving for retirement sooner, but you can start planning right now, whether you're 46 or 66. Ask Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial how to create a new, tax-free income in retirement so you can make your money last. You've already done the heavy lifting by contributing to your 401k or IRA all these years. Now it would be wise to have another separate investment account funded with after-tax dollars so that in the event of a financial emergency, you don't need to borrow or extract funds that are earmarked for retirement. We have no idea what will happen to the tax code in the future, so make certain a portion of your assets will continue to grow tax-free and generate tax-free income in the future. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/money to set up a free consultation with Al Smith. Advisory services offered through Foundation Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
All right, Good Chop is up next. A car accident can bring on panic, so replace that panic with this phone number, 720-541-7697. At a Good Chop, a real, live, caring person answers the phone every time, and they'll help with your insurance claim while handling all your auto body work in-house. That's important. Bad accident. You need a Good Chop.
Get your auto body work and mechanical repairs done at the same place. Most people have one shop for auto body work and another for mechanical repairs and maintenance. But Al Sturm and his team at A Good Shop can handle both. Al and Jamie Sturm are constantly looking for new ways to provide better, more convenient service for their customers because they're driven by one simple goal: to help more people. At a Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City, they do their best to handle everything in-house so you don't need to be relying on the dealers to get your vehicle back. Bring your vehicle into a Good Shop for auto body work, and they'll take care of your struts, brakes, and alignment at the same time. Auto body and mechanical work all under one roof. Click on the free virtual estimate button now at klzradio.com/collision and mention KLZ in your virtual estimate request for $100 off your repairs. A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring.
The Mike Gallagher Show.
He's your happy conservative warrior.
COVID and mask mandates and the vaccination and everything that we're struggling through distinguishes people from one another. In other words, strong people have really emerged stronger than ever through the pandemic. Weak people have gotten weaker.
Breaking news and what to make of it.
Don't miss the next Mike Gallagher Show.
Mike Gallagher, weekday mornings at 8 on KLZ 560.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Rush to Reason. This Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. I'm Shemaine Navarro, in with Andy Pate. Andy, I wanted to talk to you. How do you feel about King Polis' recent extension of the mask mandate?
Well, I think it was basically awful. And you know what really got me about this is not only is he adding another 30 days when you've got tons of people just taking them off and saying, look, they don't matter. All the recent numbers coming out show they don't help.
We're done.
I read a bunch off yesterday that showed that in colleges where they're testing it, students and faculty are actually getting COVID at a higher rate when masks are mandated. It's actually counterproductive. And also what I really couldn't understand is this whole idea of asking, saying if a group of 10 or more people are together, 80% of them have to be vaccinated before they can, you know,
take off the mask.
Like,
yeah.
Like how do you even find that out? Check their papers. I think it's ridiculous. But what I want to ask you is this, you know, with your page, you have people taking selfies of themselves when they are maskless.
Yes.
But when you're doing that alone, it's scary. And I was wondering, is there a way we can get groups to get together and go to places, not being in people's faces, but having support?
I think so. I'm kind of separating our group into the counties so we know who's where.
Hey, how big's your group?
It's 3,500.
And it's only been there, what, a couple weeks?
2 weeks.
2 weeks, and you have 3,500 people on your page. What is it again?
Free-faced in Colorado.
Free-faced in Colorado. My gosh, you're booming.
Yeah, people want to take them off. They're done. They want the choice to take them off. That's really it.
Now, I know that you're going to have some things where they're going to be getting together and everybody like going to, Sprouts?
Yeah, we'll try it.
That's commie land.
I know.
They have good. They actually have very good veggies. I like Sprouts.
I always loved them until this.
Yeah, I know. But when you go in and you have a group of 15, 20, 25 people, can I give a little advice?
Give it.
Be incredibly nice. And if they give you any flack, just do not start chanting. Do not get in their face. Do not say a single thing. Quietly say no. Have one person say no problem. We'll take our money and we'll spend it across the street and leave as a group.
Yeah.
Okay. And let them see all the money walk out, because if you get in people's face, you're going to have other people around you, some liberals, who are going to be filming you, and then they're going to put it online and say, this is the mob of the right getting in people's face. They're mean. They're rotten. These are the people we warned you about. Don't give them a photo op.
Yeah.
What do you think?
We don't want to be like that. I think something that's nice about our group is that we are kind. And that's the intent, to be peaceful. What is that? Strength through peace, or
peace through strength?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's power there.
Oh, I agree. Look, here's the thing, folks. We don't want to wear masks, not because we don't care about people, but because we do.
I know.
We want them to be free again. The numbers say this isn't helping. And by the way, it's really hurting businesses. And I think if you go into a business on your own and you don't wear a mask, hey, God love you and I support you, and that's great. But understand this, they only see one person leaving and one person's money walking out the door.
Yeah.
They don't care. I think you need to get together on your page, which is, again,
Free-faced in Colorado.
Free-faced in Colorado. You need to go there, guys, and get together groups, large groups, and go to places and do not be belligerent. Be the good guys.
Yes.
Be the good guys. Otherwise, you're going to be the photo op for the left.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
I agree. Something I'd love to see in the future is at the school districts. Like, let's go tell them to stop masking our kids.
Oh.
We're done.
We shall talk about that in the next hour because you are so right. Okay, that's it for hour number one. Coming up next, we'll talk COVID and election law with Richard Battle. Then we're going to discuss mass media with Daniel Natal. I can't wait for that one. Until then, keep it right here on Rush to Reason, KLZ 560.